So the man was walking along the street and he saw this young boy standing outside the door to the church. And clearly the door was locked because the boy was trying to open it, banging on the door. He'd go away for a little bit, come back and then bang again. So the man went up and asked him, you know, what is it you want? Why are you trying to get into the church so much? He said, well, I just simply want to talk to God. And surely there's no better place than to go into the church to talk to God. And the man said, yes, that's true. But you don't need to be in a certain place in order to speak to God. You can do that anywhere that you want. All you need to do is to knock on the door of God's heart by using your own heart to speak to Him. He's always there, always ready, always available, always prepared to listen. It's the God that we know and love. And we see some of that in our readings today with Abraham going into bat for this terrible and wicked community of Sodom. It became a byword in the ancient world for people who were obsessed with pride, who were very inhospitable, a community that didn't care for the poor and the vulnerable in their midst, a people who were very violent and filled with hate. And yet, Abraham decides that this community is worthy of intercession. He will go into bat, he will argue and bargain with God to try and see, is there a way to spare even this terrible city from the destruction that God was threatening? Will it be 50, 45, 40, 30, 20, 10? Abraham demonstrates this compassion that he has for even people that are wicked and terrible. It's a great model for us, for our prayers. You know, we've heard over the last couple of weeks this invitation into prayer, this invitation to see who is the neighbor, even the despised ones, the ones that are marginalized and on the edge. They're worthy of the affection and the care and the tenderness of God. So also for us. And so Abraham becomes this model for us of the boldness, the audacity of prayer. Jesus goes on when he's asked to provide some teaching to the disciples about how to pray in the same way that he does. Because clearly prayer punctuates and marks the very life and ministry of Jesus. Particularly in the Gospel of Luke, we see Jesus going off on these long spells overnight, early in the morning, all the kinds of time when I just want to be in bed, if I always want to be sleeping. And yet Jesus is up and praying and at communion with the Father. And so the disciples want to experience something of the same, something of that same intimacy and tenderness with the Lord. And so Jesus begins with a much shorter version of the Lord's Prayer. It's really hard to kind of pray the shorter version. We kind of get stuck thinking that it's the longer version that we find in the Gospel of Matthew. And if you were listening attentively to the Gospel, you would have spotted that I stuffed up and I started going into Matthew's version in the middle of the Gospel and went, whoops, that's not there, that's in the other version. But so we get used to this kind of experience of praying a certain way. We imagine there's only one way to pray, that we have to get the words right, that we have to be able to pray carefully enunciated and articulate, and it's only then that our prayers will be heard. But that's not the way that Jesus instructs us. It's not the way that Jesus teaches us. And he gives us this model of prayer followed immediately by this parable about this poor friend in the middle of the night who is visited by someone else and he's got nothing to provide for them, nothing to give them anything to eat after their long journeys. And so he thinks, oh, my neighbor will be able to give me some food. And so he goes asking, and of course it's the middle of the night, and the neighbor's like, come on, dude, we live in a single room. All of us are gathered here on the floor. There's nothing to spare. I mean, there might be the food, but there's no room. It's just a very awkward moment to be stepping over the kids to get to the door to unbolt it, to find the food, to give it to them. So you can see the resistance of this man not wanting to provide straight away. But as Jesus says, if it's not out of friendship, not out of love, that the man will get up. Just keep knocking. Just keep bashing away, and eventually the man will get up and give you what you need. how much more will the Father be available to us? How much more will the Father give the goodness of God himself? The last line of the gospel, you know, how much more the Father wants to give the Holy Spirit to anyone who simply asks. It's the only requirement that is here. The only mistake that we make in praying is not turning up in the first place, not just being there. All that we need to do is to open our hearts to God, to knock on the heart of God, and He will answer every time. He gives us those promises that ask and you will be answered, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened. Of course, there are times when we don't experience that, times when it seems that we have been asking, we have been seeking, we have been knocking, and that God doesn't seem to be answering those prayers. Maybe we're struggling with an area of addiction or doing something that we don't want to do anymore. You know, we've read Romans 7 where Paul speaks about that struggle of doing all the things that I don't want to do, and we cry out to God, or as Paul says in 1 Corinthians, you know, that I beg the Lord again and again and again to remove the thorn from my side, and yet God didn't seem to answer this prayer. So it is our experience that sometimes God doesn't seem to provide that immediate response to our prayer. So what do we do? How do we respond to the Lord in those situations and those circumstances? And sometimes it is simply that we are forced to trust, to remind ourselves that this isn't about receiving the answer to the prayer. Prayer primarily is about the change that happens within us, the slow transformation to understand what the will of God might actually be, to slowly change us to be more capable of being the bearers of the will of God, being bearers of His love, His life, His goodness. C.S. Lewis tells us that we will spend eternity thanking God for the times He said no to us in prayer. There'll be times when we just are asking for the wrong kinds of things, when it won't be something that is actually good for us. And I've been times when I've struggled with the bishop, you know, I've asked him for certain things and he just says, well, usually the bishop doesn't actually say yes or no. He just doesn't answer at all. It doesn't respond to emails and all this kind of stuff. I probably shouldn't release this recording, but anyway, this whole sense of this invitation, I remember taking it to my spiritual director and, you know, pondering this, you know, this with her. And she said, well, look, you know, sometimes it will be the will of God. It will be this answer. And sometimes you just need to grow through that and experience the wonders of what God is doing. And sometimes it will be in the frustration and the annoyance that God's will can be found. So this invitation for us today is to recognize that the invitation to prayer is abundant. The amazing grace that we receive by being in this friendship with God, that is based not in a God who's distant and needs to be cajoled and needs to be negotiated with. This is a God who delights to respond, a God who delights to be in friendship with us, a God who wants to listen to our deepest needs, a God who is available to be spoken to with such audacity and boldness that we can be persistent in our desires. We can continue to ask and seek and knock and allow God to bring us into that place of friendship and goodness and love. Let's continue to really open our hearts to the God in prayer, open ourselves to the desire to really respond to Him, to be loved by Him, and to be called into life, so that above all, how much more will the Holy Spirit be given to us as we pray for Him?